Welcome to today's share. Today's share is sponsored by Ben and Moji Nedavud in memory of Ben's father, Khalil Nedavud Hillel, Zichron Lebracha, whose Yahrzeit is on the 7th of Nisan. His Neshama Shetav Naliyah, which should be Zecher Tzichias HaMesim. Today, I'm going to talk about Haggadah and Seder night, past, present, and future. I want to talk about an option, an unexplored option for many people, of how we should treat Sippur Yetzias Mitzrayim on Seder night. The story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the Exodus from Egypt, is one that we tell again and again, every single year, year after year. In fact, when we tell the story, we are encouraged not simply to superficially relate the details, the bare details of the Exodus. We're not saying, as we do in Shema, Shatesi Eschem Eret Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem L'Elokim, but rather to immerse ourselves in the details, the emotions, the associated symbols, the halachas, the laws of the event that we know as Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do that on Seder night. Kol amar belesaper is a meshubach, that God tells us, whoever increases and expands on the way that they tell over this story, they say over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is praiseworthy. We simply can't get enough of this story, and the question is why? Or maybe I'm going to put it a little bit better. What's the purpose of being marbe the sippur? Why should we do that? And that's really what I'm going to deal with today, but I'm going to give some practical suggestions. I'm going to help you along with Sippur Yetzias Mitzrayim for this year for your Seder night. What do we expect to achieve by telling, again, once again, we did it last year, this familiar epic tale? What is it meant to do for us, for me, for you, for all the people who are sitting around our Seder table? Now, clearly, this is just the sort of question that in fact would be worthwhile discussing and raising at your Seder. The Seder is quite a fantastic ceremony. It draws upon the power of storytelling, the togetherness of family, the sense of surprise. We have the Afrikomen. Where is it? We need to find it. The playfulness, role play. We lean, we sit a ramrod straight when we have the maror, culinary symbols, wine, matzah, maror, the art of intellectual curiosity. We have questions and answers. It's not just simply a monologue. The familiar songs, and we shouldn't forget the innocence and the appeal of the children who are at our Seder table when they say Manishtana. Also a very important part of the Seder experience. We don't miss a trick in delivering this nation formation narrative. But again, what's it all for? And I'm going to suggest some answers. One concept is key to this particular point, and I'm going to read it to you. It's from the Haggadah. I'll translate it for you. In each and every generation, every person must view themselves as if they personally came out of Egypt. As it says, it's a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Ches, and you should tell your child on that day, saying as follows, because of this, whatever is there at the Seder, God did this for me when he took me out of Egypt. That's the purpose of the Seder, to make it personal. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. I want to have another quote from the Haggadah. Lo yisavisenu bilvad, goel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't just our ancestors who God redeemed from Egypt. Elo afoisonu goal imohem. Rather, we too were redeemed with them, with our ancestors. Shenemar, it's a posuk in Dvorim, Perik Vav, posuk Chof Gimel. Voisonu oitzim isham leman hovi oisonu. Loseis lonu es haoretz ashenishba lavoisenu. He took us out of there in order to bring us and to give us the land that he promised to our forefathers. This was the beginning of a process that affects us. We received the promised land as a result of going out of Egypt, and we're still connected to that. So this is the beginning of a process that somehow relates to us right now. In whatever year we are, doesn't matter if it was 100 years ago or 50 years time or 500 years ago, it's going to relate to us. Eretz Yisrael is connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore we are connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what is indicated by this concept? Now, I think it means to tell us that somehow the focus of the Seder isn't intellectual. It's experiential. A person has to view himself as if he came out of Egypt. It's something that you are experiencing. And on this night, we're being asked to connect in a most personal, even in a primal way, with the events of the Exodus and the energy that animated that momentous happening, that momentous occasion in our history. And let's be honest, when we tell a story about ourselves, talk about ourselves, we're happy to expand every detail. Now, I said to you I would tell you some practical methods. What practical methods can we use to achieve this objective, which seems a central theme of the Seder night? And I would like to suggest that there are two very clear models that one could adopt. The first one is, and it's the one which we're most familiar with, get into their shoes, relive the past to give the Seder participant the feeling that he has actually been in Egypt, experienced the harsh slavery, and emerged triumphant in freedom. Here, in that model one, as we'll call it, the aim would be to somehow simulate the past and to give each person at the Seder a taste of the Exodus itself, like being back in the past, like getting into a time machine and being back at Yetzias Mitzrayim. But here we have, now I'm going to talk to you about model two, method two, and that's really what I'm going to focus on today. We need to create a contemporary Exodus, Yetzias Mitzrayim experience for ourselves. It is not about whether I can re-experience the Exodus of the past. It needs to be in the present. The questions I need to ask if I'm going to use this second model are this: have I come out of Egypt, whatever Egypt may mean to me? Have I learned the lessons of the Exodus? Whatever those lessons are, how do they apply to me? Have I internalized its power and its vision, whatever that may mean to me right now? In this model, the Exodus is applied to the contemporary reality so that we can ask the questions of the Exodus about our world today, right now, in the present, in the here and now. In this model, we don't travel back in time. Rather, the past, as it were, travels forward and becomes relevant to our time, to our place, with its own set of challenges and problems, quite different from the Israelites when they were exiting Egypt. The difference between the two models is not simply cosmetic. These two views radically alter the type of discussions that we could have at our Seder. For example, should we discuss the uniqueness of the Israelite community back then in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or should we talk about the contemporary Jewish rates of assimilation, another form of, let's call it, slavery, of avdus? What should be our purpose on Seder night? Should we talk about the notion of Jewish peoplehood then, as it was at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or should we discuss what it means to be the Jewish people in the year that we find ourselves in the present? Should we discuss slavery in terms of the poor Bnei Israel, starving, beaten, loincloth-dressed Hebrews, desperately trying to survive the evil domination of their people by Pharaoh and his imperious taskmasters? Or should we focus on what enslaves us now? Perhaps we could focus on technology, cultural peer pressure, values that are antithetical to Torah and to Judaism, etc. Should we do that? Should we be studying ancient Egypt, Egyptology? Should we become Egyptologists? Should we talk about miracles, plagues, paschal lambs? Or should we be talking about the contemporary problems of poverty, crime, inner city decay, and how the message of Pesach might help us navigate these issues and resolve them? Is the question whether the Israelites were headed for Sinai, or is it whether we are today oriented towards whatever it is that Mount Sinai represents? In essence, are we to read the past in the light of the present, or are we to read the present in the light of the past? In other words, what exactly does it mean to view ourselves as if we came out of Egypt? So let's be honest. The way we were all brought up was this: the Seder is a ritual event during which we primarily dwell on the past, which seems to mean that our focus should be on the past more than on the present or the future. But let us see what the concept of time means in the context of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm going to read you something from the Haggadah. Rabban Gamliel Omer. Kol shelo omar shlosha dvarim elu haPesach leYotzi yedei chayvasei. Anybody who didn't say these three things, said Rabban Gamliel, he was the head of the Sanhedrin, the most senior rabbinic sage of his day. If you don't say these three things, then you haven't fulfilled, you haven't discharged your duty on Seder night. What are those three things? Pesach. You have to say Pesach. Al Shuma, She Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Abote Aveseinu B'Mitzrayim. You have to mention Pesach because Hashem passed over our forefathers' homes. Matzah, Al Shuma, Al Shum Shelo Hispik, B'Tzeikom Shel Aveseinu L'Hachmitz. Matzah because the redemption came so fast that there was no time for the bread to rise. It was matzah. Morar, Al Shuma, Al Shum Shemeru Amitzrim Eschai Aveseinu, because the Egyptians made our forefathers' lives bitter, miserable. Those are the three things, says Rabban Gamliel, which have to be mentioned at everyone's Seder. Now, what is the relationship between Pesach, Matzah, and Morar from the vantage point of our discussion regarding time? Morar represents slavery, which is the past. Matzah clearly represents the redemption, freedom, the glorious, hoped-for future. And what does Pesach, the Korban Pesach, symbolize? Is it the past or is it the future? Now, at first glance, Pesach seems to belong with the matzah. It reminds us of God's salvation. It was the first symbol of our redemption. But why would we need two symbols of redemption? Why would Rabban Gamliel insist that we mention Pesach if we are already mentioning matzah? So perhaps Pesach is neither the past nor the future. Instead, it is there to represent the freeze frame moment, that split second of redemption, b'chatzos halayla, at midnight. Morar is the past, matzah is the future, and Pesach is the eternal present. Pesach is in fact the exact moment that God leapt over our homes, the moment when our fate and the fate of every inhabitant of Egypt was determined. Pesach will always symbolize that charged moment in which the clock struck midnight and God expressed his power over Egypt, changing the fate of Jewish history from slavery to freedom, from exile to redemption. Everyone has had a freeze frame, v'yihi b'chatzos halayla, moment in their lives, a before and an after moment, which relates to that v'yihi b'chatzos halayla. We can all relate to a critical juncture that changed everything from one paradigm that came before and the other paradigm that came afterwards. It happened because of this moment in your life. Now let's take a look at the future. It's a Mishnah in Brachos chapter 1, Perik Aleph. Omar Beloza ben Azaria, we say it in the Seder. Hariani kaven shivim shona, I am as if I were 70 years old. Veloizochisi sheta'ome yitzias mitraim balelus achedorsha ben zoima. An incredible thing. I didn't realize that it's incumbent upon us to mention yitzias mitraim every night until I heard ben zoima expound on the posuk. Shenemar, the posuk says, leman tizkor es yoim tzeischom eretz mitraim kol yemei chayecha. You must remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, every day of your life. Kol Yemei Chayecho. Yemei Chayecho Hayomim, said Ben Zoima. Yemei Chayecho means the daytime. Kol Yemei Chayecho Halelois. But Kol Yemei Chayecho means, Kol, add something, means the entire day. It includes the night as well. V'chachomim Aymrim. Now they seem to be debating Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and offer an alternative approach to what Ben Zoima was saying. Yemei Chayecha ha'olam hazeh. Yemei Chayecha means right now, in the present that we find ourselves in right now, which was at that time, the time of Chazal, was a time of Golos. It was after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, lahavi limos ha-Mashiach, even at the end of days, and they hoped it would happen imminently, when Moshiach comes, the Messianic era, we will still talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. What exactly are Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and the Chachomim arguing about? It is possible to read it as just a simple dispute, a debate, a halachic debate about a technical point as to how we should read the psukim. Kol Yemei Chayecho, should we read it as the present and the future, or day and night? But let's look at another possibility. Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria wants to prove that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, should be mentioned at night. Why? Why would he care? What difference does it make? We mentioned it this morning. Why do we have to mention it tonight? And why should we care? And the answer could be this. The Exodus represents God's redemption. The need to mention God's redemption at night might represent a need to express faith in God's salvation, even in dark times, in times of persecution and exile, not just in ordinary times, in good times or average times, but especially in dark times, there is a need to remind ourselves that God never forgets us and a glorious future awaits. See what happened in Egypt with the Exodus? That's proof. It can happen to us. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah wants to establish this as a principle mandated in the Torah, not just a lofty philosophical idea. But the Chachamim have a very different way of seeing the Exodus. They claim that the Exodus must be mentioned even in an era of redemption, of liberation, of salvation, even after the Beis HaMikdash has been re-established and the Messianic Age has begun and is well underway, there's still room to recall the Exodus. Don't imagine that once the ultimate redemption has happened, that we will forget the original redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The dispute is this: does the Exodus have relevance only in the past and present? We're now in Golus. Or does it also have a message for the future in an age of redemption? Is the Exodus a story for all time, or is it only a pre-redemption story? I'm going to share a quote from Rav Soloveitchik. There are some people who live in quantitative dead time. They measure time by the clock and by the calendar. For them, there is no merger of the past and the future. The present itself is a lost moment. The year is endless. These people are deprived of historical consciousness, for history is the living experience of time. The man, however, who lives in qualitative time has a different criterion of the experience of time than the quantitative experience. He measures time not by the length, extension, but by pure quality, creativity, and accomplishment. While for the man with a quantitative apprehension, all fractions of time are equal, for the man of a qualitative apprehension, there is no equality among the temporal fractions of time. Moments are heterogeneous. One may live an entire lifespan quantitatively, not having lived even a moment qualitatively experienced. And one may have lived a single moment quantitatively and have lived through an eternity qualitatively. The alternative is up to man himself. A slave has no time consciousness of his own, for he has no time of his own. His awareness of the full intention of the qualitative moment is alien to him. The basic criterion that distinguishes people who are free from slaves is the kind of relationship one has with time and its experience. When the Jews were delivered from the Egyptian oppression, metamorphosing a group of slaves into a nation of priests, they were told by God that the path leading from Pesach to Shavuos, from the initial liberation to consummate freedom, the revelation at Mount Sinai, led through the medium of time. The commandment of Sefirah, counting the Omer, was entrusted to the Jew. The wondrous test of counting 49 successive days was put to him. A slave who is capable of appreciating each day, of grasping its meaning and worth, of weaving every thread of time into a glorious fabric, quantitatively forming the warp and woof of centuries of change, is eligible for Torah. He has achieved freedom. We may say then that qualitative time consciousness is comprised of two elements. First, the appreciation of the enormous implications inherent in the fleeting moments of the present. Eternity may depend upon the brief moment. And second, the vicarious experience, while in the present, of the past and the future. No distance, however removed, should separate one's time consciousness from the dawn of one's group or from the eschatological destiny and infinite realization of one's cherished ideals. Rav Soloveitchik is bringing into focus extremely sharply the notion of time itself. In an attempt to describe the difference between slavery and freedom, It is not so much that Seydenite forces us to think about the transition between the past and the present. It is not just about remembering the past or rediscovering the present. It is about time itself. Freedom is all about an appreciation of time and what it can mean and what it should mean. This explains why the mitzvahs relating to the night of redemption, of Seder night and liberation, those mitzvahs of commemorating the liberation from Egypt, open with the very first national commandment for the Jewish people to observe as a whole. It's in Parshas Boi, Shmos chapter 12. Kiddush HaChodesh, which is the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish calendar. By the moon, we have a lunar calendar. And looking at the moon, HaChodesh HaZelochem is the source in the Torah of establishing a calendar. Why would this mitzvah need to come before the mitzvah to take the Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb? And the answer is that it is precisely the calendar which determines sacred times. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodoshim means that as Jews we have a different beginning than the Egyptians. It is our time, not their time. We march to our own beat. Moreover, it is we who determine the months. It is never determined for us by an external source. Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah that decides the advent of a new month on the basis of a proclamation by a central Beis Din. The determination of the months and hence the dates of the festivals is entrusted to the Jewish people. We make our own time. It is this mitzvah that is the quintessential expression of time consciousness. Therefore, it is this mitzvah that God designates as a prerequisite to the Paschal Lamb in Egypt. In other words, the very concept of time awareness is central to the freedom of the Jewish people and by the same token central to the drama of Seder night. There is a further connection related to the Seder and it concerns a frequently raised question. Why does Kiddush feature so prominently within the ceremony that's dedicated to Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is it such a central part? We have Kiddush as one of the four cups of wine that we drink on Pesach. Kaddish, first thing that we do at the Seder is Kaddish, we make Kiddush. But the truth is, why does Kiddush belong in the Seder at all? We make Kiddush every Shabbos and every Yom Tov. How does it fit in specifically with Seder night? And the answer is simple. The brocha of Kiddush on Yom Tov is Mekaddish Yisrael V'Hazmanim. What is the significance of the insertion of Yisrael into this blessing formula? After all, on Shabbos we say Mekaddish HaShabbos and not Mekaddish Yisrael V'HaShabbos. What is the meaning of the phrase Mekaddish Yisrael V'Hazmanim? And the Gemara answers this for us. It says in the Gemara, Shabbos, which is fixed by God, we say Mekaddish HaShabbos. But Yom Tov, which is fixed by Am Yisrael, by the Jewish people, who fix months and the years, we say Mekaddish Yisrael V'Hazmanim. God made Yisrael holy, and Yisrael made the times holy. God sets Shabbos in place, and it has been the same every single week since the very first Shabbos of Adam HaRishon, of Adam. But Am Yisrael is active in creating Kedushas Hazman, the holiness, the sanctity of time, the sanctity of Yom Tov. Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, is intimately connected to Kedushas Yom Tov. And in the same way that the laws of Pesach commence with the independence of Jewish time, similarly, our celebration of our independence, liberation, salvation and redemption, the Seder, commences with Kiddush, that ceremony which celebrates the joining of God and man in generating the sanctity of time. It is this notion of time that is so central a feature of our freedom and our Seder night. There are so many ways that this lesson of time can be applied to our own Seders, using the second model we mentioned right at the start of the shiur. Rather than ask questions about the exact details of the slavery and the period leading up to the redemption in Egypt and the Exodus itself, one can seek to use the narrative of the Exodus and the rituals of the Seder to experience one's own personal liberation from contemporary slavery. Of course, it is fascinating to delve into the meaning of each word of that God and to know exactly why each plague happened as it did and how the glory of God is manifested through the mighty miracles he wrought to ensure the redemption of the Jewish people. It is a legitimate and time-honored way of going through Seder night, but it is no less legitimate to apply the story of the Exodus, the rituals of the Seder, and the diverse aspects of the Haggadah to our own contemporary reality. What can we learn from the story, from the rituals, from the way the Haggadah is presented to us that can be directly applied to us, to our own situation? The late Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach famously told the story of the last Seder in the Warsaw Ghetto that took place in 1943. Now, in his apocryphal story, the young Moishele finishes asking the Manishtana the four questions, and then he adds a fifth question of his own. He says to his father, "Will you be alive next year at the Seder? Will I be alive to ask you Manishtana?" In other words, will the freedom and exodus that we're celebrating here in Warsaw in 1943 ever happen to us? To which his father cleverly responds in Shlomo Carlbach's story, "I don't know if you will be alive. I don't know if I will be alive, but God has promised us that there will always be a Jewish people. Somewhere there will be a Moishele at Seder night asking his father the questions, the four questions of Manishtana." And with this brilliant insight, Moishele's father has applied the concept of time to the ideals represented by the Seder in his own way. The Exodus is not a history story about a historical group in the distant past. It is a story about national identity. The celebration of Seder itself is part of that national identity. It is a continuation of the Exodus. It is part of the redemption. By sitting down to Seder, we are coming out of Egypt. We continue to come out of Egypt. If there is no Seder next year, the story of the Exodus, the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is over. Any Moishele asking Manishtana joins the millions of Jews who emerge from slavery into freedom. Here, in Beverly Hills this year, we're also going to be part of the Exodus from Egypt. Imagine that. That's one fantastic interpretation of the quotes I took from the Haggadah right at the beginning of the shiur, and there are many others. And the field is open to choose the one that works for you, that makes a 3,500-year-old story contemporary and real for you this year. At each stage, Manishtana, Avodim Hayinu, Arba Bonim, Tseul Amad, the theme of time and contemporary relevance can be applied using the time-honored Seder ritual of asking questions. Never be shy to ask questions. Avodim Hayinu, Vayotzienu Hashem Misham. How have we been slaves? How have we been set free? What was the exact moment that it happened for us? How does our moment compare with the historical Exodus? If we are still slaves, how can we use the taking control of time idea as a model for our own redemption? Four sons. Who represents the four sons today? Not around the Seder table, but generally, if we're looking for a Chochma, Rosha, Tom, and a She'eni Yodea Lishol, how do they relate to our contemporary reality? How do we respond to those four children? How should we respond to them? And it goes on and on. I could go on forever, but Dayenu, I will leave it here for today. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you.